is Mr. Reed Mullen.
Hello, Mr. Mullen. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Fantastic. It's great having you with us. И така вече говорим с Рид Мълън, барабаристът и съосновател на Corrosion of Conformity, и той се радва да ни чуе, поре така твърди. Well, it's been 3 years since album number 9, and we're interested to know what happened to you guys ever since, besides being rejoined by Mr. Pepper Keenan.
Oh yeah, PJK, Pepper J. Keenan.
Uh-huh.
Has it been that long? It doesn't sound like it's been that long. I guess we did a lot of touring once, because Pepper and I have been on the phone for, Jesus, I don't know. We've been talking to each other about doing this getting back together thing with this particular lineup for, I don't know, 6 years, 7 years, something like that, 8 years, I don't know. But Pepper was always busy with Down, and then, like you said, when the punk rock three-piece version of COC got back together, we did all that, and yeah, it just it all came to fruition, you know, because Down was taking some time off, and we just got finished doing 9, and worked out perfect, man. Worked out perfect.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Попитах Рийд какво са правили те през тези на практика 3 години от излизането на последния им албум 9. Освен че Пепър Кинън се завърна в бандата, той започна с инициалите PJK, Пепър Джей Кинън, и каза, че всъщност са си говорили по телефона за завръщането му в продължение на 6-7 години, но всъщност Пепър е бил постоянно зает с Down. В същото време, когато Corrosion of Conformity се събраха след толкова дълга пауза през 2012 в версията Punk Trio, той Рид Мълън, заедно с вечния китарист Woody Weatherman и басиста Майк Дин. Помните албума, който издадоха тогава? Чувствали се добре в този вариант, и докато си говорили с Пепър да се върне при тях, направиха и въпросния албум 9 през 2014. Сега да го попитаме дали Кинън все пак има опасност пак да ги напусне. Is PJK now back in the band for good, or he will return to Down as soon as they got reactivated?
Well, it doesn't seem like they don't have anything planned anytime soon, but they might. I don't know. I know Phil's having a bunch of fun doing Super Joint, and Phil always has like 3 other projects going on. You know what I mean? Phil and some of them never. You know, there's no grass, no moss grows on his arse. He's always doing something. He's always doing some kind of music project or producing or whatever. But I hope they get back together and do some stuff. But you never know. Selfishly, I hope they don't. You know, if Pep stays with us and we write some more music and do some more touring. But when we got back together with Pepper, because Woody and Mike Dean and myself have been doing, as you mentioned, the more punk rock version of COC, the one that from, I'd say, 1982 to late 80s, something like that. we played a lot of that stuff and recorded some new material under that kind of style of music. I don't know. You can never tell with COC. I think our name exemplifies kind of what we are. Corroding the conformity of whatever that fucking band is, because we change all the time. And much to the chagrin of our fans, like, you know, there's a tremendous amount of the old punk rock versions of Corrosion of Conformity. There's a huge amount of fans of the Blind era, which we only did one album with Carly Gill singing, and then obviously the biggest is with Pepper singing and playing guitar. So can't make everybody happy, but we're damn sure making ourselves happy. We're having a great time doing this. The new album is crushing, and we're getting ready to start a world tour. Our first tour is with Zach Wilde doing Black Label. We're up in for Black Label here for 2 or 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess we'll do the festivals.
по повод това дали Пепър може да се върне в Даун и пак да ги остави, Малън каза, май няма планове за скорошно ново събиране на Даун. Филип Анселмо в момента е отдаден на Super Joint, а и нали го познаваме, той винаги има по 3-4 проекта на гърба си. Не му растат косми по задника буквално, защото постоянно бачка и се върти, продуцира разни групи и проекти, но така или иначе самият аз бих искал да видя Даун да действат някога отново. Това в случай обаче няма значение. Споменахте периода ни като пънк трио, аз, Уди и Майк Дин. Така действахме от началото през 1982 до към края на 80-те. Имаме адски много ферове на тази конфигурация. След като се събрахме сега отново, свирехме стари парчета и направихме нови в тази същата пънк посока. С нас никога не се знае. Общо взето сме верни на името на групата. Корозираме конформизма. Но имаме наистина много различни фенове. Много хора харесват, например, и албума Blind, който направихме с вокалите на Карл Ей Гел и, разбира се, много почитатели на албумите с Пепър Кинън, вокали и китара. При всички случаи е ясно, че не можеш да направиш всички щастливи. Важното е ние да сме щастливи, нали така? Новият ни албум е смазващ. След това започваме световно турне. В първата част ще сме с Зак Уайлд и Black Label Society, а после ще свирим и на големите фестивали в Европа. Okay, so actually, how do you see the band profile these days? Corrosion of Conformity bigger in the States or down here in Europe?
Well, I don't know. I'm not quite sure. That's funny you asked that, because I was going to ask you that. I think we do, clearly we do a little bit better in the States because we had a lot more rock radio play, and the radio stations in the U.S. love to play Albatross and Clean My Wounds from the Deliverance album.
Same here, man. Same here.
Over there, I don't think you guys had quite as much radio going on as we did. But I don't know. It's kind of a tie. One thing I wish we had done, and I think we really fucked up by not doing it, is because we're old friends with the Metallica guys.
Mm-hmm.
And when they offered us to go out on the road with them in 96 through 97, the tour was wild forever. It was really fun, but it was a long fucking tour. So we played pretty much everywhere, and as you can imagine, every place we played was packed to the gills. Every place was, chock full of people, and great shows every night. They treated us like kings. We got to fly on the Metallica. And we had a wonderful time. It was really, really good. It was really fun. But we're playing places anywhere from, 18, 19, 20,000 to 150,000 people,
Yeah.
And what we should have done, hindsight being what it is we should have come back and done our own headlining tour, playing more modest sized venues.
Well, I'm surprised you didn't do it.
I was too. I think we should have come back and played our own show, not just believe me, don't get me the wrong way, I'm not putting down Metallica, but I think we made a big mistake, an error in judgment, by not going back and playing crowds that were there just to see us and have them just go crazy and play a longer set. And so I think because, for whatever reason, our management, and we probably shouldn't have been listening to them, felt like, well, they played here, they played with Metallica, they played in front of hundreds of thousands of people all together, that they'll be fine, which in reality, it's better to get close to your fans and have them right there, because I don't know how you feel, but I prefer to see smaller shows. I don't like festivals all that much. It's cool because you get to see a lot of your friends, and lots of times the shows have eclectic lineups and stuff like that. But
I'm with you here.
Yeah, man. You know what I mean? It's like, I want to get up close and see the band, and I can,
you go to a big show, and in most of the cases, you watch it on the big screens anyway. So you'd better stay at home with a live DVD, your friends around, and cheaper and better beer.
Cheaper, I totally agree with you. I'm in total agreement.
Окей, попитах го как вижда групата си в момента и по-точно къде им върви повече, в Штатите или тук в Европа. Рийд каза, май аз би трябвало да те попитам теб как е при вас, но всъщност ми се струва, че тук в Америка е по-добре за нас. Защото американските рок радиостанции все така обичат много да пускат Албатрос и Clean My Wounds от знаменития албум Deliverance от 94-та. Аз вмъкнах, че и тук е същата работа, след което той продължи, че има нещо, което те са прецакали и тогава. А естествено му се иска да не бяха. 96-97, когато Металика ни покариха да откриваме турнето им, беше страхотно. Свирихме на адски много места и навсякъде беше пълно догоре. Свирихме пред 80 000 души, дори пред 150 000. Изкарахме си страхотно с Металика. Летяхме с техния самолет, но след това трябваше да се върнем сами на тези места и да свирим пак по малки зали и клубове, естествено, но не го направихме. Не знам защо. И не искам да ме разбирате погрешно, каза барабаристът на Corrosion of Conformity. Не омаловажавам Металика по никакъв начин. Но ние сгрешихме, като не се върнахме по тези места с собственото си шоу пред публика, която е дошла само за нас. С по-дълга програма и така нататък. Послушахме менеджмента си, доколкото си спомням, и сгрешихме. Свирехме пред хиляди хора и това е супер, но не знам вие как сте. Аз някак предпочитам по-малки концерти, които можеш да видиш лицата на феновете. Казах му, че като ходиш на мега концерти с адски много хора по стадиони, така или иначе често си принуден да гледаш шоуто на екрани, защото си много далече от сцената и понякога май е по-добре да си гледаш концертно DVD от дома. С приятели, качеството е по-яко и бирата е по-добра и по-ефтина. Wolf Named Crow. На Corrosion of Conformity говорим с барабариста и съосновател на бандата Reed Mullen. We saw that video. You mentioned Albatross and Clean My Wounds. Been still on heavy rotation on the radio, but these songs came to be so popular also partly because of the videos on Headbangers Ball. And now you actually have a second one from the new album, The Luddite. Tell us more.
There's a lot of drum notes. There's a lot of drum playing on that song, and a lot of it was improvised. And I don't know if you heard the story about us recording the album, but initially a lot of the music that we did for the new COC record, they were supposed just to be demos.
Uh-huh.
We recorded them at our rehearsal space. Mike Dean, the bass player, has a nice little recording rig, so we were going to record them there. And I'm friends with that guy, Dave Grohl from Foo Fighters and Nirvana, and he has really good studio in Southern California. So the idea initially was that we were going to write the songs or get good ideas of them, demo them, and then do the basic tracks at Dave's, but it's called Studio 606.
Yeah.
But the other guys, they, I liked the demos. I thought they were good. But the other guys loved the demos. In particular, our producer, John Custer. John Custer has been our producer since the Blind album, 1991. So he's sort of like our fifth band member, if you will. He's like our George Martin. At any rate, so we ended up not doing it, but man, that song, The Luddite, good lord, there's some crazy ass drum shit on there. Holy fuck. I tell you what. So anyway, when you're doing the video, you're supposed to be synced up with everything, and Jesus, whew, fat chance on that, man. I tried my best, but anyway, but the idea for the video, I think is good, and I think you'll like it a lot. It's going to be one of our best that week.
Fantastic. Така както си говорим за радио и популярността на онези две парчета от 94-та, тогава преди 27-28 години, те стараха толкова популярни и заради клиповете по MTV, Headbangers Ball и така нататък. Сега от новия албум видяхме първо Wolf Named Crow, след това и новото на The Luddite. Рид каза, че това парче има много, много барабани и много импровизации в него, освен това. Не знам дали сте чували историята на този албум, каза той, но първоначално много от парчетата трябваше да са просто демозаписи. Направихме ги там, където репетираме. Басистът ни Майк Дин има едно помещение, в което може и да се записва. Направихме демо версии. Аз съм доста близък приятел с Дейв Грол от Foo Fighters. Той има убийствено студио в Южна Калифорния. Тоест идеята беше да напишем песните и да запишем макетите при нас. А после да запишем основната част в студиото на Дейв 606. Обаче, окей, аз харесвам също демо записите, но другите в групата направо се влюбиха в тях. В това число и продуцентът ти, Джон Къстър, който работи с нас още от 1991. И албума Blind. Той е като петият член на групата, нашият Джордж Мартин. И така и да стигнахме до студиото на Дейв Грол. Но да се върнем на клипа на The Luddite. Там, нали, има адски много барабани и импровизации, ми се разказа играта, докато синхронизирахме снимките. Но стара доста яко видео, едно от най-силните ри за всички времена. Yeah!
Yeah, man!
You can call me crazy, you can call me wrong, 'cause I was born a liar.
Yeah, I wrote that a long time ago.
Yeah.
1982, 1983, I wrote that.
Jesus.
So.
As you mentioned, John Custer, he got a Grammy nomination for working with you, right?
I think so, yeah.
For something of Wise Blood, I think.
Yeah.
But if you get a Grammy nomination for this new album now, do you actually care about things like that?
You know what? I didn't care when we got I'm not trying to sound egotistical or big-headed or anything like that, but I didn't particularly care the first time around. Just because I just remember Jethro Tull beating Metallica in, what was that, 90? No, it was 80 something. Yeah, like 87. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So I didn't put much credence in the opinion of the people that vote for Grammys. So when we got, you know who it made a huge difference to when we got nominated was our parents.
Of course.
My father was beside himself. He thought that was the greatest thing since sliced bread. I think he still says that to this day. Man, when you guys got nominated for that, that was the greatest thing since sliced bread. So it was cool to us. I mean, you know, it's an honor, but it's not something that I think us guys, because we all come from punk backgrounds, and there wasn't any sort of even remotely close of an award like a Grammy back then. So for the kind of punk music we played, we were more like Black Flag and Bad Brains and Minor Threat and Discharge and stuff like that. So, but yeah, it made a huge difference. So all the stuff that I got, like I got a, like bronze medallion, like you'd win at the Olympics. Everything I got, I just gave to my father to make him happy, because my folks, Woody's folks, our guitar player Woody, and my folks in particular, have always supported the band big time. And as a matter of fact, my folks bought COC our first van,
mm-hmm.
way back in 1983. So they were always way behind and trying to help, and they definitely thought.
I'll drink to that, to the family and to the great and supportive parents.
Fuck yeah!
All right, man. Say hello to the other guys, and please don't hang up. Stay on the line for a second. Тук приключваме с барабариста на Corrosion of Conformity, Рийд Мълън. Попитах го за онази номинация за Грами, която продуцентът им Джон Къстър получи за албума Wise Blood. Ако сега, например, ги номинират за Грами с нови албум, те дали изобщо се вълнуват от такива неща? Той каза, предавам накратко, нали помните, когато Jethro Tull спечелиха в категория Heavy Metal и изпревариха Metallica? Тогава разбрахме какви хора гласуват в тези награди. Не се вълнуваме и защото, като се имат предвид нашите пънк корени, ние идваме от света на Black Flag, Bad Brains, Minor Threat, Discharge. Така че последното нещо, за което се вълнуваме, са награди или подобни неща. Но, вижте, баща ми много се зарадва, каза Рийд. Хей, граби номинация! А родителите ми, както и между другото родителите на китариста ли, Woody Weatherman, те винаги много са подкрепяли бандата. Всъщност, нашите ни купиха първия ван на Corrosion of Conformity. И аз му казах да пием за това, за семейството, да пием за великите родители, които подкрепят децата си музиканти.